You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in, everybody. It's Catfish on Ice. It's your host, Chad Minton, with co-host Max Greenberg. This guy just beat me in fantasy hockey. I don't like you right now.
Hey, well, guess what? This doesn't matter because we're in playoff season now, and I'm playing the first place seeded team, and we're in a league. So I don't know how you guys know fantasy leagues work, but we're in a dynasty league, and the opponent I have, he bought at the trade deadline. So I'm about to get my ass whooped. I mean, it's about to be Preds versus the Avalanche 2 years ago.
You're playing the Preds role right now, right, baby? You're playing the Preds role.
It's about to be a very, very quick exit for me.
Oh, come on now. Don't be that way. All right, so we're going to share it on the screen here. Max Greenberg beat me in fantasy hockey. First of all, it's episode 226 of Catfish on Ice with Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. We've had a little time off. I had an injury. Yeah, ugly. Oh, I just put it on the screen. I'm sorry, guys. But I'm trying here. I've been watching the Preds. 17-game point streak. Franchise record. They've passed that franchise record. 1-0 gutsy win against the Red Wings. I mean, that's one of the most... I love those. Personally, yes. I love 1-0 shutout wins way more than the 6-5, track meets, you know, as you call them. Like, people love the back and forth where each team is just, you know, scoring goals left and right. Those are my favorite type of games, and the ones that really have me on the edge of my seat are the types of ones we just watched when the Preds beat the Red Wings 1-0 against a classic old school rival. That rivalry will never die with me, because any of your old school Preds fans will know that Preds Red Wings, you can't ever. I know Red Wings fans probably don't think it the same way, but from a Preds fan perspective, Red Wings are always going to be the GOAT rival, because that was our big brother coming up in the early days. And so it was an awesome game. 1-0 shutouts. I mean, come on now. You don't get that very often today. So, Max, you watched the game.
Yep.
What did you get from it, man?
Let me preface this by saying I had to have a little bit of a soft spot because my buddy from college was visiting, and he was a Red Wings fan. So okay. I had a Red Wings fan with me at the game. But it was a really good time. And it was one of those games where the puck luck was – it was crazy the whole game. It was bouncing all around. Felt like the Preds had a few shots they wouldn't have put on. But once it got that third period, it kept building up more and more and more and more. And the one sequence where the Preds scored the puck just moments before, like very nearly under the net, then Forsberg takes it and he roofs it in. The whole
I mean, that ridiculous goal. Real quick, we're going to talk a lot more about that game. But we got the aforementioned fantasy scores here from this past week, last week of our Catfish and Ice Fantasy Hockey League. And you see on the top there, I am Lasagna Mania, so Jeremy Lazan. And then Max Greenberg is Roman's Empire. And so you really took in your inner Roman Yossi, who is on a heater right now, and beat me by 9 points, which is not a very big winning margin at all.
It was not close.
And so Roman's Empire, which is Max Greenberg, just takes down Lasagna Mania, which is me. I'm already in the playoffs, so I'm good, but I'm still a little salty that you beat me, man. But good
and
win from you.
You see, McMarble King, the only guy on the whole league that has a Z to indicate he clinched something. That's the guy I'm facing right there in the playoffs.
Let's go down. That's Where is McMarble King? I don't see him.
Yeah, he's right in the middle. You see where his Z
is? Oh, yeah, okay, there he is. Oh, he's at the Z, yeah. Yeah, he's just crushing everybody right now.
That is not good news for me.
Well, I will say that I actually beat McMarble King a couple weeks ago. So he is able to be beaten. He's not untouchable. But it's been a great league.
A few extra draft picks. So when my inevitable defeat comes, it's not going to be the worst. It's not going to be quite like the Preds 2 years ago, because at least I have a few small assets to play with for future use.
Yeah, this is a keeper league for all of our fantasy hockey people out here. So we are thinking ahead here. There's draft picks involved. There's trades, all these things going on. I mean, I can't keep up with it all. I'm only focused on this season. I'm probably going to get beat in the playoffs, just like the Preds get beat in the playoffs all the time. But you know what? I'm all in it. I'm in it to win it. So we'll see what happens, but a fun time. So your two co-hosts here on Catfish and Ice went at it this week in fantasy hockey, and Max Greenberg got the win. So good for him. All right, so we got it on the bottom of the screen there. Welcome to episode 226 of Catfish and Ice. So franchise record, 17-game point streak. Just beat the Red Wings. Max just kind of gave his thoughts on it. I'm going to speak of it right now. I love a goalie duel. I really do. And so it was Alex Lyon, who has been very up and down for the Red Wings, up against UC Saros. And both goalies had a great game. They really did. Yeah. I mean, when you get a 1-0 game, that's what you would expect. Saros didn't face a ton of shots. So when you look at the box score, you might think, oh, it was a really boring
game. He did.
Exactly. Yes.
Especially in that second period, like that third, the second period, I thought he really was getting kind of pep. Not like crazy, but he was facing some shots in that second period, I thought.
Quality of shots were way up there from both teams. I mean, you saw Patrick Kane get denied on the pad, I believe, by Saros.
As usual.
Patrick Kane even, I mean, great job by the Bally Sports South broadcast for zooming in on Patrick Kane so many times. But I do remember specifically Saros denying Patrick Kane, and they got in a close shot on Kane, and he looked so frustrated. He was like, seriously, with this guy? DeBrinket got denied a couple times by the fan base. The Red Wings fan base is turning on Alex DeBrinket. This dude's been a disappearing act recently. The thing about the Red Wings, they are in a lot of trouble.
They are
right now. They needed a point. In that game against the Preds, they needed a point, at least one point. They needed a point. They needed desperately to get that game to at least overtime, because they are in trouble. That Eastern Conference wild card race is way more up for grabs than the Western Conference.
They're out of a spot.
Yes, right, you got now the Islanders right there, who are putting pressure on them. So, I mean, as much as they are a rival, I would actually like to, just for entertainment purposes, I would like to see the Red Wings make it over the Islanders, because I do want to see. I just want to see the Red Wings in there. I really do. I mean, for entertainment purposes, I want to see them in there. It'll be better for me to watch. I want to see DeBrinket in there. I want to see Patrick Kane in there. They have a really good roster that's very interesting. No offense to the Islanders, but you don't move the needle for me. I don't need you in there. Sorry.
There's more upside with the Red Wings, I think, and I think you'd think as well.
Just for entertainment purposes, I would rather see the Red Wings in there. But a very important game, and to, you know, 1-0 shutout games don't happen very often anymore in today's game. And so what were some other things that you saw, Max, out of that game that really stood out to you?
Honestly, one of the things that stood out to me, and I think maybe he's getting a little ahead of myself, but this is a thing that I think has really been fueling this win streak. Just the fact that this, even when this team doesn't necessarily play their best hockey the whole game, they find a way to complete their effort as game goes. And there's other games in the streak, for example, the one against Anaheim back earlier in the streak, and then a few others where you don't necessarily, and I think Seattle was another example, where you don't necessarily play your best hockey for the first two periods, but you come out in the third period, you make adjustments. And earlier in the year, this team could not hang on to leads or finish games. But now they're doing the exact opposite. They're finishing games. And that third period against Detroit, they outplayed them the whole time. Detroit hardly registered a shot. Even the game against Ottawa a month ago, where they didn't put a single shot up in the third period. Absolutely crazy. But then on the flip side, there's other games where maybe the Preds don't necessarily show up for the whole, don't jump in the whole third period. They played so well in the final, the first two, where they don't really even need to. That Winnipeg game was a great example where the Preds up 2-0 entering the third, they scored two goals, squad in the third, and then they gave up two goals at the end, but they're up 4-0. So either way, this team is doing, is the completeness of games this team is playing. And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, they're playing a whole 60 minutes without an off button, but either they're finding ways to adjust to finish strong, or they're starting so strong that they don't need that. It's essentially over with. And I think
that's the latter, man. I think they're starting so strong. And so, like, even against, like, here's what I'm getting out of this Red, out of this Predators team right now, and I saw it against the Red Wings, is even when things aren't going their way, I'm seeing a dramatic shift in improvement when it comes to their defensive abilities right now.
It's not me
being prisoner of the moment in the Red Wings game. It's been sustainable through this point streak. It just really culminated against the Red Wings. They needed it against the Red Wings. They did. But I'm saying, like, their defensive structure and their ways that they're defending their zone, because, you know, the offense isn't always going to click. It's not going to always work out. And so I got to give a lot of credit to the Red Wings. They played a really, really strong defensive game.
Both teams did.
It was a great game to watch. I loved it. I know fans love offense and they love all the goals, but I could not get enough of that game. I was in it. I could not wait to see who was going to crack through first. It was so great. And then you see Forsberg just maneuver that puck in traffic and find it and just, like, find a way to do something that very few humans on this earth can do to beat Alex Lyon high shoulder. He had no chance to beat that, to get that puck. I mean,
he hardly even knew what was coming by the time the shot was there.
You watch that in slow motion and you see Forsberg find that loose puck with all these players jabbing for it. And he just makes it look so easy. So easy, so effortless, and he beats him up. I mean, and let's talk about this, Max. So we got the to-do list on the screen there. Mm-hmm. 17 game point streak, which is what we're talking about now. Are you buying the Preds playoff buzz? I have a poll question that I shared a couple hours before we went live. Got a lot of votes really quick, so I appreciate all of you for voting on that poll, because it was the last second thing. So we're going to share that. But are you buying the Preds playoff buzz? We will revisit the possible opponents, what we think about that. Do we think that what qualities does this Preds team have that can win playoff games? Because it's very different than winning regular season games, as we know. Do we owe an apology to Luke Schenn? I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one too.
Future of Cody Glass. He keeps getting healthy scratch. A lot of fans out there.
I just wrote an article about this.
Yes, and I can't wait to get your thoughts on it. A lot of fans out there are very passionate about it. I have my opinions as well. And then also, we're going to really unpack the Preds' defensive injuries. A lot of injuries hit this team at one time, and it all happened to the same position group, so that's really tough to manage. Credit to Mark Delgado for holding down the fort. He's doing great. I mean, I like what I'm seeing from him. He's not no glaring mistakes from him.
No. So, I mean, this team is somehow some way that this team has hummed along despite the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, that's to take that many injuries to one position group that close together speaks to your depth. I mean, you take an injury to Dante Fabbro, and then you call up Spencer Stastny, and then you take an injury to Jeremy Lauzon, who is the league's leader in hits.
That was the one where I was like, oh no.
I mean, come on now. That's tough. And then it turns out, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but it turns out that it's more or less maintenance. And according to Willie Donick and the crew and their sources, they said that Lauzon could have played against the Red Wings if it was a playoff game. I don't know if you heard that.
I did not hear that, actually. That's good news.
So that was said during the broadcast by Willie Donick and the great crew there that Jeremy Lazan could have played in that game if it was a playoff game.
I didn't know that.
So, and I like that decision. Do you hold him out?
I think that's the right decision by Andrew Brunette.
Let's get caught up on some comments here because we have a lot. We got some stuff from our buddy Johnny.
Johnny.
He says, guys, I swear maybe it was the moment, but that has to be the loudest "it's all your fault" chant I've ever heard for a regular season game after Forsberg scored on Saturday.
As someone who's in the building when that happened, it was the weirdest thing because right during that chant, I couldn't tell what chant it was because then they were doing the "it's all your fault," but then they were also doing a "let's go Preds." So I found myself deciding, what am I going to go with? The "it's all your fault" chant? Am I going to go with the "let's go Preds" chant? Confused as a fan in the moment, like, what chant do I go with?
So I gotta say, watching on TV, I wasn't there. Watching on TV, it was really hard to distinguish between the "let's go Red Wings" and "let's go Preds" chants, because I know there were a lot of Red Wings fans there. Max, can you speak to that?
Red Wings fans showed up. There were definitely more Preds fans, though.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
There was definitely more gold in that building. I'm not worried about that.
All right, and then also our buddy CJ under the name Squeegee Dude on YouTube says, "I'm particular to an awesome defensive battle with no whistles, but I'm a rare human." No, I'm right there with you. I'm in the rare territory as well.
I can appreciate a good battle.
They let them play. In that game. They did. They let them play, and I love that. As long as they call it consistent, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I just need the consistency. If they're going to let it go, and if they're going to let borderline calls go, let both teams get away with it, I'm cool with it. I actually love that style of hockey more. You know, I hate the embellishment. I hate the guys who just they see a trip that happened in this game. There was there was a borderline embellishment tripping call that was called on the Preds. I'm trying to remember which player was called against. It might have been Yossi, but there was a really questionable.
I know Yossi had a penalty in that game.
There was a really questionable tripping call on the Predators, and in slow-mo replay, it was definitely embellishment. And even the Red Wings player knew it. You could see him on the bench like, yeah, that was probably I sold that. And I just don't want to turn into basketball where there's these flops and there's these, like,
it's really soccer where it's bad.
But it's gamesmanship. I get it. They're going to exploit the rule. I get it. These guys need points. The Red Wings are desperate. I get it. But at the same time, I hate to see it. But the Preds penalty kill played well. How about that? The Preds penalty kill all of a sudden is turning into not – I mean, I still don't trust it necessarily, but they're definitely not a weakness anymore.
No. I mean, I don't think there's anything that's been a true weakness during the streak, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously not. I mean, that's why they're on the streak as it is, is because they are – doing the things they're doing. I do want to try to find the poll question that we're about to get to and how it looks currently. There it is. So we threw out. So basically the Predators have it's close to 100% probability you can get to make the playoffs. I'm still not convinced. I'm still so nervous.
Now. I'm not believing until I see it either.
I mean, I keep looking at the standings, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it, but you look at the standings, like, okay, all it takes is 1 5-game losing streak, and all of a sudden, I'm nervous. So it's like, Preds are 9 points up on the Blues, who beat the Wild in overtime,
who are currently losing to the Vegas Golden Knights,
which we agreed. Which, in weird fashion, we agreed that we should probably go for the Golden Knights in that game.
Can they both lose, honestly?
Because the more teams you eliminate, the better. And so we shouldn't be so focused, and it's kind of going to get us into our next segment here. We really shouldn't focus so much on whether the Preds are wild card one or wild card two. In my opinion, it really doesn't matter that much. What do you think about it, Max? Do you really care if they're wild card one or wild card two?
No, not really, honestly. I mean, I think I think the format, which pretty much everyone agrees with, I think the format's wretched, like all kinds of it.
Yeah,
I
don't, and we've talked about that as well.
To be honest, I think it's going to kind of get in. I mean, not, I don't think, with the way the Preds are playing, they probably, there's not a team that wants to face us right now. I think the Preds can, they're playing, they can beat anyone at this point. If they can, not saying it's going to happen, but if they continue to play like this in the playoffs, it's not a team that isn't beatable for this team right now.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm about to share my poll question here. I will update the results. It might not be completely updated from my screenshot, but I still wanted to put it on the screen for everyone to see for our YouTube viewers. Also, if you're watching on YouTube right now, or if you're watching on X or Facebook, hit the follow button, comment, join the stream. And so here we go. We got it on here on screen. This was just before we went live. The results are probably a little bit different now, but just to read it for you guys, throwing this poll out there, the top four possibilities. There's a lot of different, we have no clue who the Preds could play in the first round right now, because the top three of the Central Division is so up for grabs. The Preds actually
are fairly close.
Yeah.
Maybe so not the Preds, top, maybe not for the top spot, but for a top three spot.
No, not the top. Possible. Preds are only 5 points behind the Winnipeg Jets for third place. So that's why this question is very up for grabs here. Like, we really don't know who the Preds are going to play in the first round. But the point of the matter is, your top four most realistic possibilities would be the Dallas Stars, the Winnipeg Jets, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Vancouver Canucks. The reason why there's no other Pacific teams in that conversation is because the Canucks have a 10-point lead in their own division. So in the current NHL playoff format that's so weird, there's really no way the Preds would face Edmonton or LA or Vegas in the first round, because none of those teams are going to make up enough ground to get to first place. So it really comes down to four teams. And I just put them out there. And so I asked everybody, all of our followers, who do they give the Preds the best chance to beat? And it's not who you want to see, who gives the best chance to beat. And we're going to answer this again. Me and Max did this question 2 weeks ago, so I think it's fair that we can change our answers at this point if we want to. But let's just do the poll results here. And overwhelmingly, Winnipeg Jets wins this poll at 57%. You've got Vancouver. I was surprised that many people voted for Vancouver.
Yeah, that is surprising to me,
considering that the Preds are 0-3-0 against Vancouver, and all three of those games, at least on the scoreboard, were pretty easily decided. I know those games, a couple of those games were decided with some empty net goals, and the Preds were in it early on. But I think the argument for the Vancouver Canucks is the Preds are a very different team than the times they played the Vancouver Canucks, which the last time they played Vancouver was December 19th. So
that's right.
There is an argument to be had there. Max, you talked about it, man. What scares you about Winnipeg, which is winning this poll, is the Connor Hellebuyck effect.
They are kind of slumping now, though, or so it seems. I haven't really been with them or game by game, but the fact that the Preds are close now, I actually think it's pretty much a dead tie between Dallas and Winnipeg, because, like, at least from a personnel standpoint, I think the main thing that puts Winnipeg over the edge for me is their goaltender. I wouldn't want to play that, but, like, with them being not playing well right now, I mean, that certainly makes it a more favorable matchup. I will say, though, I mean, definitely, I think there's a two teams. If we're going just two teams, I'd rather play one of Dallas or Winnipeg and not at all play Colorado or Vancouver.
Yeah. So the way we're just looking at it right now, and I could be wrong, but I'm just doing this quick off the top. If the playoffs started today, the Preds would play the Avalanche, just based on the standings I'm looking right now. Because the Preds are the top wild card team. The Avalanche are the division leader based on tiebreaker scenarios over Dallas. And you've got Vancouver, who is got more points than Colorado by one. So very fluid right now. But
absolutely,
That's who you would play right now is Colorado. And I said 2 weeks ago, we tried to answer the same question. And I was very, and Max couldn't believe it. I said, I would take Colorado because I think they're top, because I think they're a little top heavy. It doesn't mean that I think they're a bad team. Every team you go up against in the playoffs is a good team. So let's just throw that out the window.
You got to remember, they are also hot right now.
They are hot right now.
Yeah, like the Preds.
But I think what I think about Colorado is goaltending and their defense. Is their defense ready to play playoff hockey? I'm not calling them soft. I'm not saying that. But, yeah, they got Cal Makar. Yeah, they got some decent defensemen. But they were – I mean, they were down 4-0 to Pittsburgh last night. Yeah, they made the comeback, and they ended up winning 5-4 in overtime. Did you see that, by the way, Max?
I saw a score. I didn't watch the game, but I saw what happened.
Pittsburgh had them down 4-0.
Yeah.
Midway.
Oh, I know that. I didn't watch the game, but I know what happened. Yeah.
I'm just saying, look, Colorado's great. They're very deserving for being a top Stanley Cup contender. I think they're exploitable. I don't think they're as good as the last time the Preds saw them. I think the Preds are much better than the last time they saw the Avalanche in the playoffs, when the Avalanche swept them and they didn't have UC Soros. And I think the Avalanche aren't as good as they were at that time. So I think the gap is closed between the Preds and the Avalanche. Do I think the Preds are better than the Avalanche? I'm not saying that. But anything can happen in a 7-game Stanley Cup playoff series is all I'm trying to say. Now, I got to rethink my answer here on this poll question. I'm not moving off Dallas. I think Dallas is the top Stanley Cup contender. They are built to win a playoff series. They are. And they're playing just as good as the Colorado Avalanche are right now. Now, they are tied with the Avalanche in points right now, but they have an extra game in hand, so that's why they lose the tiebreaker. I think the Stars are deeper than the Avalanche. That's why I lean towards Stars over Avalanche, is because I think 1-4 lines, I think the Stars are deeper. And I think the Stars have a much better defensive corps than the Avalanche do. Both teams, Avalanche and Stars, have suspect goaltending. Both teams do. But I trust Ottinger more than I trust
Georgiev. I probably trust Ottinger a little more than I trust Georgiev.
I trust UC Soros more than both of them.
Well, obviously.
So there you have it. There you have it with that. If I got to pick, I might have to go with the popular opinion here and go Winnipeg, though.
I'm saying my answer has changed. I think it's a tie between Winnipeg and Dallas, the teams I'd want to play in the playoffs.
I don't want any part of Dallas in the first round. I'm going to be on record of that.
I'm still going to be on record wanting nothing to do with Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're both going to take maybe one. All right. I don't want to see Dallas. I would rather see Colorado over Dallas. That's my point I'm trying to make right now. I don't want to see either one of them, but you got to take a good team no matter what. Right. But, I mean, here, we got our buddy Justin Gambino. He says, I just think the Avs can take advantage when Preds give up their odd man rushes more than all the other first-round teams. That's a really good point from Justin there. Avs have speed to kill. They can and the Red Wings tried to do that as well. I'm not saying they're on the same level as the Avs, but the Red Wings tried to do that. These speed teams are the teams that scare you in the playoffs, because you can think you're having a great game against them, and then they hit you 1-2-3 out of nowhere because they got speed, they got counterattacks. And that's the one downside to the Andrew Brunette system, is counterattacks. If your passing is just a little bit off, just a little bit, you can get exposed quickly. So that's the one thing to worry about. So when you're facing an Avs team, that's the one thing you really got to worry about there. So that's good stuff there from Justin. I'm going with Stars. That's my number one team I don't want to see. I'm going to go with the majority here. I don't like to go with the majority normally, but I'm going to go with the majority here. I'm going to say, yeah, Let's see Winnipeg. Let's see Winnipeg in the first round. I give the Preds a really strong chance to beat Winnipeg in a 7-game series. And they're 2-1 against Winnipeg this year in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put too much. I mean, of course, you can't put too much stock into the regular season. And of course, I mean, because we've seen the playoffs and, you know, just for, I'm sure there's other stats that'll back this up. But like when the years ago, when 2017, the Preds went on that run, I think they beat the Blackhawks one time in the regular season out of 5 meetings and, of course, sweep them right there like it was no problem. So you really can't, again, just can't put too much stock in the regular season. But, again, I see what you're saying there.
So I'm about to share something on the screen again. Again, this is episode 226 of Catfish on Ice. If you're listening on our audio version on the podcast platforms, you can't see all these graphics. That's why you got to go on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. And follow us on X and on Facebook, and then you can watch our live streams. You can see all the stuff we're sharing on the screen. But we'll still tell you what we're sharing here. But another thing I want to share, and this is the one thing that scares me the most, and I know it's improving and it's looked better over this point streak, and that's pretty much everything has looked better on this point streak. That's why you're on a 17-game point streak. But here's something that still gives me pause and it still worries me. Got it on the screen there. So I got the top 12 power plays in the NHL right now. And you see a lot of Eastern Conference teams on there, but there are a couple teams that you could see in the first round that scares me. You don't see the Preds in there. In fact, the Preds are way down that list. They're way off the screen. But top 12 power plays. So Tampa Bay Lightning, surprisingly, have the number one power play in the league right now, thanks to Nikita Kucherov. But let's move further down. A team that the Preds could play in the first round, let's go back to the Colorado Avalanche. They have the seventh-ranked power play, 24.8%. Dallas has the ninth-ranked power play at 23.3%. Vancouver, 22.3%. So here's my thing. I think special teams is so important, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs. And if the Preds are not only going to win a first round, but actually do some damage in the playoffs, their power play is going to have to be more consistent. Now, during this point streak, and specifically over the last 12 games, I calculated it. The Preds are over 30% success rate in the last 12 games. Just calculated the last 12. That's better than the top-ranked team. In terms of overall, 30% success rate is really good. They are 9 out of 30 for their last 30 power plays. That's going over the last 12 games. So that's really good. They're showing progress. That power play has got to start cooking a little bit better. And it has been. It's been showing some progress. Your top unit is pretty set. With your Forsberg and O'Reilly and Nyquist and Yossi, and Tyson Barry is the wild card that's been getting power play duties because of all the defensive injuries. We're going to talk about it later. Is Tyson Barry just going to get tossed back to the wayside? Is that what's going to happen, Max?
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. But what I'm looking at here though is you got to compete in your power play. And so the penalty kill is getting better for the Preds, but you look at it here. If you go up against Dallas or Colorado, which is very likely, one of those two teams is a team you're going to face in the first round, and Vancouver's 12th, I thought Vancouver would be better, honestly, but just looking at Colorado and Dallas, they're going to make you pay. And you better match them is my point. You're gonna take penalties. It's inevitable. You can't look at a team like the Preds and the way they play and think, don't take penalties. You can't take – they're going to take penalties. It's going to happen. So
– every team will take penalties.
What I'm worried about is if you're going to give up a power play goal or two against some of these teams, Dallas or Colorado in a first-round series, you better match them. You better match them. And capitalize on your own power play opportunities. That's what gives me the most concern about the Preds breaking their first round curse is, will they be able to capitalize on the power play in the playoffs?
I mean, it's certainly better than when it was in January, when it was literally nothing. I will say, though, I mean, it's hard to say because his sample size as a head coach in the NHL was fairly small, but it seems like Andrew, just kind of on the surface, it seems like Andrew Brunette-led teams are kind of susceptible to long stretches of no power play goals. Like, I remember 2 years ago when he coached the Florida Panthers, President's Trophy winning team that could score all over, they scored one power play goal out of 31 tries in the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes, I do remember that.
So, I mean, again, I couldn't talk about that stat with too much conviction because I didn't really break down the 2021-22 Panthers like I do this Preds team. But, like, just with that stat being out there, you got to that could come back to haunt us. You never know.
Okay, back to fantasy hockey here. So, apparently, you winning last night, Max, and beating me kept Justin Gambino out of the playoffs. Oof.
Like I say, Justin, don't feel bad. I'm just about to get whooped by Chris, and it'll be like it never even happened.
I love the underlying storylines here. All right, I didn't even realize all this. So, you just knocked out Justin, I came to win. I did not tank. I promise you that.
Oh, I didn't tank either. Well,
I wanted to win. I always come to win. I always play to win, especially against the co-host here. Kucherov let me down last night. He is my breadwinner. He scores like 10 points a game for me in fantasy hockey, which is insane. The fact that he didn't score for me screwed me over too. So I'm sorry, Justin. Me and you both got screwed over. But congratulations to Max again. Justin. So sorry for Justin for missing the playoffs, but it's okay. All right. So, a quick update here. Vegas is still beating St. Louis 1-0. They're at the second intermission. We've all agreed that even though Vegas is the second wildcard team, we would much rather St. Louis leave this game with 0 points because that just makes the Preds playoff magic number.
One of those teams has to leave with 0 points. That game cannot end in overtime.
I think it's more important for St. Louis to leave with 0 points because that makes the magic number for the Preds that much lower.
But whoever wins, I just want the other team to get zero.
There you go. So we'll keep an eye on that game. But right now it looks like, we all want to see Vegas miss the playoffs because that would be hilarious.
Of course.
After what they did,
it's funny now they have a Stanley Cup, which sucks
after the rest of us. After what they did, the trade deadline, they went all in though. That'd be hilarious if they missed the playoffs.
That'd be pretty good.
But either way, we'll keep an eye on that game. Got to tell you about DraftKings here. Thank you for watching episode 226. Let's tell you about our offer with DraftKings. We know hockey games can move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice this week. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So let's pull up Wednesday or Tuesdays. Today's Monday. Yeah, we normally record on Tuesday. All right, my days are all thrown off. All right, we are recording on a Monday. Let's look at Tuesday's NHL offers with DraftKings. We got the Boston Bruins at the Florida Panthers. That's got President's Trophy implications there, Max. Right now, it's a very close game, very close line, but the Florida Panthers are the home team, and DraftKings has them favored. Flyers Rangers will be a good game. We got Carolina Hurricanes at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Red Wings at the Capitals. You might as well call that a playoff game.
That's great. Yeah, that's. Doesn't get more important than that in terms of the implications.
That's going to be must watch for any hockey fan. And right now, DraftKings has it virtually a toss-up. I mean, you can't get closer odds. So you got that game to look forward to. Let's look at the Vegas Golden Knights and the Nashville Predators. Right now, it's a slight favorite because they're at home. But DraftKings is favoring the Predators. Good. But it's close. It's not a heavy favorite at all. Edmonton Oilers at the Winnipeg Jets. That should be another very interesting game. Another toss-up. A lot of toss-ups for Tuesday hockey, which means It's going to be a lot of fun hockey to watch on Tuesday. So get you some tacos, Taco Tuesday, get you some tacos and watch some hockey because there's a lot of good games tomorrow that we are going to be into. All right, so download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. All right, let's talk about our guy, Luke Schenn. He's been a punching bag. It's no longer Cole Smith. Cole Smith moved away. So it took
pretty
a while.
Pretty decisively so.
It took a while. But Cole Smith is no longer the punching bag. He moved away from the punching bag. He's good. As far as I know, he doesn't take a lot of shots anymore.
No, I think people have realized Cole Smith is pretty valuable.
That new player is Luke Schenn. That guy takes so many shots on social media. I'm going to say it right now.
I mean, on this podcast or everywhere. I mean, he used to be.
I'm going to call it like I say it. I never, ever took that many heavy shots. All I said was I didn't understand why he was in the lineup. I never said he was bad.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough.
But I will say I do still owe Luke Schenn an apology because I'm not saying he's lighting it up and he's the reason why the Predators are doing so well. I'm not saying any of that. No one misconstrued my words here. But I think a large portion of the fan base, I'm looking at you right now, owe Luke Schenn an apology because I do think he has stabilized the physicality that you're going to need to beat a Colorado Avalanche in the first round of a playoff series. You need guys like that. The dude is battle-tested. He's been there. He's done that. You can't be all speed and finesse. You can't. You have to have both. You have to have both. And Luke Schenn, he's done it. He's been there. He gets it. He understands what it takes. And watching that Red Wings game, the guy gets in there. He's crafty. What I see about Luke Schenn is he's crafty. He doesn't take penalties that much, if you notice that. But he still knows how to get under the skin of especially skill players. The smaller, speedy players, he takes them out. He comes at them. He does. And you're going to need that. You're going to need a Luke Schenn patrolling and letting players know, hey, I'm here, and you're going to pay for it when you come down into my area.
Yeah. No, he's definitely one of those guys. I remember them talking of several games ago back in like January. He was one of those guys where it's just like, if you got a problem on the other team, go to Luke Schenn because he's going to show you what's happening. But you know, the thing I see with Luke Schenn is like, and I think a guy like him, you know, because there have been a lot of, and I'll admit I've been a little bit, you know, influenced by social media because I feel that no matter what I say, it could get taken out of context or whatever. Because you know, Luke Schenn, I think, is one of those players who everything he does is looked under a microscope, and the mistakes he makes, everyone's gonna look at and be like, oh, Luke Schenn just sucks. He just sucks, and he has been perfect. And there's been a few plays that you know still haven't been great. But like, I remember when he was like, no, I'm not gonna count his first game back in October because he played one game, went right to the injury reserve. Yeah. When he came back in November, played like for the first few weeks, he was objectively terrible. Like, I'm not sure he was really bad. He looked lost all the way.
Is it fair to hold that against him? I mean, a lot of players on this team were terrible.
He's screwing up way less now. And there was a play he was against the Red Wings. I thought he made a great play to take out the guy in front of the net.
And what I was about to say too is I think a lot of players on this team, outside of a few, they took a while to get used to this system, which is understandable. It was a complete overhaul. And not only was it an overhaul, but you had new players getting used to new line mates and everything. It wasn't just a new system. It was a new team. Yeah. Like, that's what people don't realize. It would have been one thing if Andrew Brunette came in and took over mostly the same team of the same guys playing together for all this time. But it wasn't that long ago that David Poile, in his last trade deadline, completely ripped apart this roster. And then you go to the offseason and do more changes. And then you come into this current regular season and you make even more changes. So what this is this is still about Luke Shen. I want to get more into that, but I'm going on a rant here because it's one of those episodes where we just have to get it all out there. But I don't know how you cannot have Andrew Brunette at least top three in your Jack Adams award race right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
And they always love to give it to the head coach that's like the President's Trophy winner. And I got to admit that it always escapes me. Who's the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks? I'm having a brain fart. Yeah, okay, so it's probably going to go to him because I got to admit, the Vancouver Canucks are a major surprise.
They are.
No one expected them to be where they're at. So if they give it to him over Andrew Brunette, I won't lose sleep over it. I'll understand. But other than him, it's Andrew Brunette's award to win.
The only other guy who I think might could contend instead of Brunette would be Spencer Carberry from Washington, but that's about it.
That's only if they make the playoffs, and even then. Right. What Andrew Brunette has been able to do and accomplish in such a quick turnaround with a new GM, with new players, with a new system he's introducing, doing more with less. And then that's nothing against the players he has. They're great players and they're proving that they're way more valuable than what we thought they were on paper going into the season. So I hate to use that term because it makes it seem like I think these players are crappy, because that's not what I'm saying. But Brunette is, on paper at least, doing more with less. You can't dispute that.
And, you know, and I tweeted this the other night, and I'm going to say it again. Independent of any comparisons, any other, you know, guy who's – or any other coach in the league this year, just from this team, seeing what Brunette's done with this team is Jack Adams caliber, the work he's doing. And that's all I say again. That – I don't know who's going to win it, but just I can say from what I'm seeing Brunette do, he deserves it whether or not he wins it.
He'll definitely be – we expect the Preds to make the playoffs. It's not a for sure thing, but they're up there. Right. But assuming they make the playoffs, he'll be in the top three. I mean, whether he wins it or not, we don't know. But let me get back to Luke Shen. So here's why I think I owe an apology to Luke Shen. It's because I was from the second he was signed in free agency, I was so baffled and I was so confused by it. I was like, what is going on? I get it. He's got Stanley Cup pedigree. He's been around. He's all this. I understood Ryan O'Reilly. When I saw Ryan O'Reilly, I was like, oh, I was like, I like that. Like, this dude's a leader. And I'm not saying Luke Shen's not, but when I saw Luke Shen, I was so confused because the Preds are loaded with defensemen and we've been dealing with this all season. Like, what are we going to do with Fabro? What are we going to do with Carrier? Like, what are we going to do with Tyson Barry? I was just so confused, like adding Luke Shen to the mix, but it's all kind of come around for me and it's taken some time and you're allowed to change your opinion. That's the beauty of sports. I get so sick when fans come at you on social media and they're like, well, 6 months ago you said this. And I'm like, well, yeah, a lot's happened in 6 months. Yeah. Like, it's called sports. Things happen. But that's kind of my point about Luke Shen. My opinion has changed about Luke Shen over the last 6 months. And so I do owe Luke Shen an apology. I appreciate the way he plays. I appreciate his craftiness. That's the word I like to use about Luke Shen, is he's crafty. He's smart. He knows how to use his best strengths to his advantage. And the only thing, the only knock I have on Luke Shen, and I'm not going to change how he plays because he's a Stanley Cup winner and he's not going to listen to me, and I would never want him to listen to me.
Right.
But I really wish he would cut back on the soft blue line shots that get blocked and turn into two-on-one scenarios in Saros' net. That's the only thing I need him to stop doing. He likes to throw a lot of those blue line shots out there that are easy to block, and he's looking for the deflection, the pinball-style goals. I get it. But sometimes pass it off, and let's keep the cycle going in the offensive zone, and maybe let's not take that crapshoot shot from the blue line that's not your strength. That's the only thing I'm about with Luke Shen. But I love his physical presence. I love that he gets in the grill of players. And we need him. He has to be on the playoff roster. He's going to be on the playoff roster. And he's going to be a valuable asset because he's been there and he's done that. He knows what it takes to win seven-game series.
I mean, from my personal standpoint, I'm not going to go back and say I still would have done that contract. I don't think he's been that worth it. But
I'm not saying that either.
But what I will say is, you know, he's definitely not the same player he was. And, you know, I agree with your point, Chad. It takes time to acclimate. He's not that same player who just couldn't stop screwing up. And, again, there are legitimately good things with Luke Shen. The physicality, the experience. And like I say, like people, like him being that player where if you got a problem on the other team, deal with Luke Shen. That I appreciate. Absolutely.
And it goes back to my point. You can't have all finesse players. You can't have all offense first players. You got to have a blend of those types of players. And so for Luke Shen, he can absolutely serve his role in the playoffs.
Yes.
If you're relying on Luke Shen to provide you offense, you're already screwed. You've already lost. It's over and it's done with. How many years, I can speak to this, how many years going back to like 2018 at least, did the Preds have a hard time finding third pairing or second pairing defensemen they could trust? That they could trust in critical situations? They went through like what? Matt Irwin, Corbinian Holzer.
Dan Hamhuis, that was one of those guys.
Well, he was towards the end of his career. Dan Hamhuis in his prime was great. Yannick Weber was good, kind of, but not. I mean, yeah, I'm saying my point is the Preds have upgraded when it comes to that aspect. So you need guys like that. They can just be a mountain of a force in the playoffs against a team like the Avalanche or the Stars. Because guess what? Those teams are going to have those types of players too. Not all of them. The Preds, everyone in the league knows the Preds are one of the heaviest hitting teams in the league. I think them and the Boston Bruins have gone back and forth with the most hits in the league all season. I don't know who leads the league right now. I haven't checked it lately, but I know the Preds are up there. They're
maybe
one of the
heaviest. Jimmy Lozon's probably inflating a lot of that. Yeah,
probably. And he's going to be back. He's going to be back for the playoffs.
It sounds like it.
So we're good there. I feel really good about that. So I do owe an apology to Luke Shen. I did underestimate him a little bit. I still don't love the contract, but that's not his fault.
Right.
I do think he's going to be a valuable asset in a playoff series.
And let me also say, I'm not accusing anyone on the Preds fan base for doing this Luke Shen, but I also hate whenever people look at a player with a big contract, be like, oh, that I hate that player. Like, you'd never blame these players for signing these contracts. They're being offered to them by the teams. Blame the front offices. You can be mad at Barry Trotz all you want for that contract. Don't be mad at Luke Shen.
No, I don't think that was ever overall the case.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying, like, some people I do see have that mentality and that just like, I can't stand that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just casual fans that aren't.
Yeah,
I think some fans were just upset more at the front office for the contract, and I get that. I totally get that. All right, let's move on to the next thing that also has fans really passionate and really upset, way more than Luke Shen. Mm-hmm. And Max, I want you to lead this segment, but it's all about Cody Glass here. And we've talked about it a bunch in the past, but I don't see a path forward for Cody Glass right now. I mean, I really don't. The team's on a 17-game point streak. And I threw this out there. I got a lot of comments on social media about it. And look, here's how I lay it out. And then I'm going to get your thoughts, Max. Yep. My thing is, no one on this current team deserves to be healthy scratched. And when you're a good team, that's going to happen. Now, is it fair? No, of course it's not fair. Cody Glass is a great player. He deserves to be playing somewhere. He doesn't deserve to be healthy scratched. He got a hat trick in his last game. That's crazy to think that he's not playing after that. But you got to think about it. You got to put your emotions aside. You got to put your bias aside about how much you love the player and think about it from the point of how are you going to put him in there when he has had a very inconsistent season? He was starting to trend up, but how are you going to take some of these? You can't take anybody out of the starting lineup right now. It makes no sense. Put your bias aside. It sucks for Cody Glass. I get it. I can promise you that him as a winner as a competitor, he's upset about it, but he gets it. It's just the way it is. It's sports. It happens. Yeah. This team's on a heater. You can't take anybody out right now.
Now, here's why I have to push back, I will say.
Okay. All right. And push back.
Because what had to happen when Jason Zilker and Anthony Beauvillier were acquired? You had to mess with the lineup a little. This team was already on a heater. And it's already happened. You got the injuries on defense. You already messed with it enough. And like this team, I don't think this team is proven at this point in the streak and how many players have been out. They're not going to fall apart from, you know, one or two players, you know, being switched. They're too strong for that right now. But here's the thing. Now, the other question is, now who do you take out? Now, that's the bigger question here. Well, I mean, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I don't think I've seen much from Anthony Beauvillier, really.
Yeah, but you're not going to take him out, right? Here's the thing about Anthony. I'm glad that you brought Anthony Beauvillier up. So let me address that, and then I'll get your thoughts on that. Look, you can't make – I agree that the overall returns from Anthony Beauvillier has not been strong, but it's more or less – eye test for me. I think Anthony Beauvillier is actually playing pretty well for playing for a new team in the role he plays. He's hitting hard. He plays with a ton of speed. And I look at I compare Anthony Beauvillier more to what I was seeing out of Denis Garionov, who's now gone. I see more speed from Beauvillier. I see more physicality from Beauvillier than I do see from Garionov, who's gone now. And I think that Beauvillier, he's missing certain plays. He's in the right position to make the right plays. And we're talking about one poke check away, one slight second off of timing, and he's already got a couple goals under his belt. So I get it. That's the first player you think of to take out of the lineup to put Cody Glass in. But again, I'm trying to ask people, put your personal love and bias aside for a second when it comes to Cody Glass and think about it. Okay, I can get on board with people when they say, well, we should have never gotten Beauvillier to start with. I can get on board with that. I understand that part of it. But they've already done it. It's done. It's over with. You can't take it back. He's in this lineup. I don't see how they did that for a reason. And it's because they, for whatever reason, they do not strongly believe in Cody Glass right now.
I guess if you look at it that way, that definitely makes sense. But I mean, I guess the way I see it, and again, there's definitely some, you know, some emotion going into what I'm saying, but like, I just think with what you've seen from Beauvillier, not having done too much, and you haven't seen a ton from Jason Zucker, but he scored a few goals. And I would say I've seen a little more from him than I've seen Beauvillier. I mean, I really don't see what the harm is, because I'm sure Glass was already playing. It's not like he was playing center when he was already playing the wing. So that's already a fairly easy switch. So I would do that switch. I at least for a game, see what happens.
It could happen.
And because especially with how the Preds offense wasn't really a factor in the last game overall, and the depth, in the game against Florida, even that game, it was all first line goals. So in the past few games, the depth really hasn't been there from an actual production standpoint. So I think if there's really any time you're going to bring Glasson back in the lineup, this is the time to do it right now.
You are right about. I do agree with you there. I definitely agree with you. I think that with the games you have remaining, you got to find a way to get Glass some playing time, and because the roster you have right now doesn't have to be set in stone. When you do lock up this playoff spot and you're going in, that's going to be a whole nother set of decisions that this coaching staff's going to have to make in terms of who are we taking to the playoffs. And I'm not saying Cody Glass is completely should just be dismissed and he has no, I'm not saying that at all. So I do think that Cody Glass is owed a chance to get in the lineup and perform and compete. And I think that's fair, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I know the fan base is really fired up about this, and I get it. I'm not saying they're wrong, but this is a good problem to have is all I'm trying to say. This is a good problem to have.
I agree with that.
You've got a lot of players.
Yes, it is.
You've got a lot of players who deserve to play right now.
Yep.
And that's not just on the NHL roster, but even in the prospect pool, you have players who deserve to play.
Sure.
So it's a good problem to have. We'll see. We got another comment coming here from Justin Huffman on X. The conversation about number 21 can be like how the fan base used to see number 2. It took a while. Clutch now. Number 2, who are we talking about?
Shen.
Okay.
Because he wears number 2.
Yeah. So there you go. It's true. It takes time. Anthony Beauvillier has been everywhere. I mean, he's been everywhere.
And again, to go to your point, Chad, I mean, Barry Trotz knows him, and he knows he's done well in the playoffs beforehand. So there definitely could be some element of he needs to get his legs kind of under him in a new team. So there's definitely that too. So
I know that he hasn't like registered on the score sheet or anything, but I do like a lot of what Anthony Beauvillier is showing in terms of aggression and speed. He has more speed than Cody Glass, from what I'm seeing, he does.
I would say that.
Now, does Cody Glass have better vision, better abilities to make his line mates better? I think so. So I think there's pros and cons to playing both players right now. I think Beauvillier offers more physicality than Cody Glass, but I think Cody Glass offers maybe more top-end offensive abilities. Is that might be a toss-up, who knows, but I think there are two players that are very evenly matched in terms of picking which one of those offers you more value, because they both have very different skill sets and values. So it's gonna be a tough decision between those two. You're not going to take out Kiefer Sherwood, that's for damn sure.
No, certainly no one on that fourth line.
You're not going to take out Cole Smith. You're not going to take out Michael McCarron. We probably owe an apology to Michael McCarron. Hell, I'll say that.
I don't know because I think honestly for most of the year I don't owe an apology to Michael McCarron. I've been a huge Michael McCarron supporter this whole year.
Fair enough.
I don't owe Michael McCarron.
I've never heavily bashed Michael McCarron either. The only reason why
most of this year I think people really now where people really do owe an apology, everyone freaking out about that contract extension. You guys all owe an apology, and I was one of the few people who said I like that. You guys all owe him an apology there.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, we'll collectively. I'll say that I do slightly owe an apology to Michael McCarron, because going into the season and training camp, and when Andrew Burnett was brought on, I didn't really see how Michael McCarron was going to last in this lineup, because I thought that the shift in
I agree with that.
I didn't see this offensive outburst of abilities from McCarron just coming out. I mean, he showcased it a little bit, sparks here and there. I know before going into the season that he kind of showcased that he can get in on the net. He can get those greasy goals that we like to call them. But I didn't see him doing what he's done this season. So I do owe him a little bit of apology. Let's bring up our friend Buster on YouTube, who's been on the show before and commented. He says, how about Evangelista's play as of late?
Oozing confidence.
Yes. Evangelista, his puck handling abilities is out of this world.
How about player we should talk about in this lineup? Mark Jankowski. You want to know the Preds record when he won it this year?
Hold on. Time out. If we're apologizing, we also get credit. I have been on Mark Jankowski's wagon for months.
Yes, you have.
Give me my kudos for that.
No, absolutely. But Mark Jankowski's record in the Preds lineup, when he's in the lineup, the Preds, I believe at this point now, 17-2-2. Like, he's legit kind of a glue guy for this lineup right now.
He's a glue guy. And he gets
also
back
on to how Andrew Brunette's case for coach of the year.
Yes. And he gets back on defense. The thing I love about Mark Jankowski is he is a master of poke checking and takeaways. Like, I know there's been numerous instances in the last few games where Jankowski gets back on a rush and either blocks or takes away a puck from a player who was about to get a shot on UC Soros or Kevin Lankinen or whoever.
And he's been far from a slouch offensively either.
He does so many things that just get overlooked unless you just really go deep into the analytics or whatever. But he is such a crafty player. I love that word. I'm going to use that for him too. He's crafty. He's smart. He knows his role. He's another player that's kind of taken away a spot from Cody Glass.
Yes. Yes. That one I fully agree with there.
And Cody Glass has
my article that he should not be one of those guys taken out.
And Cody Glass is another player that has way more of a higher ceiling than Jankowski because he's younger and has more of a future ahead of him. But this Preds team is this front office, Barry Trotz has already made it very clear they're thinking about now.
Yeah.
They think this team can win in the playoffs. They wouldn't have done what they did. They didn't feel that way. So they're making decisions based on now. And so I don't want people to freak out about Cody Glass so much because the front office and Andrew Brunette, they might, for whatever reason, we might not see it and understand it, but they think that Cody Glass is just not quite ready, even with a hat trick. You can't take one game and see a hat trick. And I know he was playing good before that too, and he was getting better. But you can't be prisoners of the moment here and think, oh, he got a hat trick, you know. And Cody Glass has a lot of real estate ahead of him to have a great NHL career. So I don't want people to freak out. But right now the team is just thinking in the now. And so they're going with the recipe that's working. And what's working is your Mark Jankowski's and your Cole Smith's and your Michael McCarron's. All those guys are cooking right now. You can't disrupt that. Mm-hmm. And now Anthony Beauvillier is the one player that could be switched out right now for Cody Glass. I'm on board with you. I'm not totally against that. But I do think that you don't want to take Anthony Beauvillier out too soon when you made a push for him in this trade deadline, when this guy has been moved around so much in his career in the last couple of years. Maybe he's getting better and better, and he's finally starting to get comfortable. And I've seen him do some good things on the ice, even though he hasn't scored yet. And then you pull him out, and then you stunt that growth and that chemistry he's building. It's a tough call. It's a tough call.
Yeah, but like, all right, it's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. All right, we're about to wrap up episode 226 of Catfish and Ice. But before we do, we got to do our Titans talk with Max because it's still free agency. I got to get caught up. This is going to be an educational moment for me too, because I haven't been able to keep up with it as much. So Max, how about you update us on what the Titans have done since they got, I know they got Pollard, the running back. I know that they got a couple other dudes. I know they got the receiver, Calvin Ridley.
We're about to talk about that.
So get into him and then talk about the backup quarterback we got.
Yep.
All right, so, Max, the floor is yours.
So when we last left off the Titans, we had signed Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry starting center.
Great last
Kenneth game. Murray, the linebacker, who I don't really like that one, but it's fine. And then Chido Awuzie, the corner, who's really good. Since then, the Titans have signed, and I'm going to start with some smaller signings here.
Okay.
Mason Rudolph, backup quarterback. Now you think it's a really quality signing because Titans need they needed a backup quarterback.
I wasn't sure how to feel about that.
Well, also he had to come in last year for the Steelers because Kenny Pickett, who's now been traded, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. He's been traded and he had to come in and play. He actually got the Steelers to the playoffs and he actually had some, and I'm not going to go over everything, but like his underlying stats are actually really good. He actually kind of did really well. So I love it as a backup signing. I really do. And I was telling my dad, they need to get me for Christmas a reindeer costume. So if the Titans have a cream on Christmas, I can get a Rudolph jersey and go in dressed up and cheer for that. That's a whole nother discussion there.
Well, the way Will Levis plays, you got to feel like there's a chance that Rudolph's going to have to come in at some point.
Yeah. I mean, you never, hopefully he doesn't get injured, which he'll come right the bench. But anyway, next signing we want to talk about. This is more depth signing. Shadeek Charles, who's basically been a backup his whole career. I expect him. He's just probably going to be depth. Coach Erson have a chance to start, but what I envision is he'll be there as depth. He'll probably be what I think is going to be competition for the right guard spot, but I wouldn't expect too much there. We also signed a defensive tackle, Sebastian Joseph Day, who's no stud or anything, but he had his best year alongside Aaron Donald, who just retired, which hell of a career to him, Hall of Famer, all that. But anyway, Sebastian Joseph Day, I think is going to be a decent signing as far as, you know, what we need this year to fill in a little bit of depth on the interior on the defensive line. We also re-signed kicker Nick Folk, who had a really, really good year last year and for once gave the Titans a situation at kicker. They don't have to worry about it. But anyway, okay. The two big signings we want to talk about here, and you mentioned the first one, Calvin Ridley.
Yes, signed please.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I need to know about that one because I like it.
Yes,
I know that he's a little bit of a like a streaky player, but he's not going to be the number one, right, well, Max? He's going to be the number two behind D-Hop.
Here about to tell you some stuff. So there's on paper, there's going to be a few red flags with him, just like on the surface. Number one, him being 29 years old, but you also got to think, you know, the kind of player he is, he's going to age better than a normal receiver. I mean, we're already seeing DeAndre Hopkins play into his 30s, but also Calvin Ridley essentially didn't. He was drafted late. He was drafted at age 23, and he essentially didn't play football for 2 years. So when it comes to like tread on your tires, a normal 30-year-old would have, he doesn't have that at all. So he's going to be much more fresh than a 23 than a 29-year-old normally would.
But he's going to be he's going to be the number two receiver behind D-Hop, right? Like he's not going to be asked to be the number one.
1A, 1B situation.
Okay. All right.
And here's the thing. So last year, Calvin Ridley, and I'll preface this, after 2 years off, he had what probably is a fairly disappointing year for him with like 1,008 receiving yards, whatever it was, and 9 touchdowns. But here's also the thing. And this is where I actually have a lot of optimism around where this is going to work. Last year, when he was in Jacksonville, they used him pretty much exclusively as an X receiver, like just lined up on the outside, winning those battles. Calvin Ridley is best as a Z receiver. Now, in football, not going to try and go down this rabbit hole too much. Your X receiver is a guy, DeAndre Hopkins is an X. He's the guy who's going to be on the outside, winning contested catch battles, physicality, all that kind of stuff. But Calvin Ridley is normally a Z receiver where he's moving around behind the line of scrimmage in motion, route running, all that, more speed down the field. That's the kind of stuff. But the Jaguars didn't use him that way nearly as much. They use him as a pure X, basically. And also another thing that really spoke to where I believe he has potential in this Titans offense. Last year, there was a result that came out from the routes he ran and that he was good at. And without going too far into it, the routes that he was best at were hardly used in the Jaguars. But the ones he was worst at were used the most. And where I really believe the Titans are not going to make this mistake is he mentioned in – because he had, of course, his press conference and other media availabilities. He mentioned that he felt that he was misused a bit by Jacksonville. But he's talked to the coaching staff here, and he feels a lot better about – being used properly. And also another thing, and this is where I really believe it's going to be different. The Titans offensive coordinator, Nick Holtz, last year was the passing game coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if he's coming to the Titans, and if Calvin Ridley is confident that he's going to be used better, then you got to believe that not only was Nick Holtz banging the drum to go sign him, but he's also probably saying to Brian Callahan and all the rest of the coaching staff, hey, they didn't use him correctly. Here's what we got to do to use him more properly. So that's where I really think the Calvin Ridley signing is going to work out. And again, you know, it's a lot of money. It's a gamble, but I think it's a really good, I think it's a good gamble to take. It's a great use of cap space and a guy that's going to be a huge help for young quarterback and Will Levis.
There you go. And also they expect the wide receiver market to go up even higher. So this deal will look even better maybe 2 years down the road.
Absolutely.
So, but, all right, go to the next guy.
Yeah. The next big thing that happened, and this is the final big move that we've seen so far for the Titans. This past Friday, cornerback Legarius Sneed from the Kansas City Chiefs was traded to the Titans for a third-round pick, next year third-round pick, and a seventh-round pick swap. And Legarius Sneed, and this was really work really well done by Rand Carthon, Titan general manager. It had come out that because the Chiefs franchise tagged him, and in case you don't really know how like it works in football a lot, they have this thing called the franchise tag where you can use it to prevent your really good players from hitting the market. Chiefs, they use a franchise tag on Legarius Sneed, but they did it, and from a realistic point of view, they really knew they couldn't re-sign him. They were doing it just to say, hey, let's at least not lose him for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Let's try to get a little something. They didn't get what they really got, but it very much seems like they accepted it from the start, saying, look, we just want to get something. But the hold up the whole time from everything we'd heard, and it, the results basically confirmed this, it was not the trade. It was not the compensation the Chiefs wanted to return. It was Legarius Sneed. He wanted like the annual average value and guaranteed money of like the highest paid quarterback in the league. But Rand Carthon the whole time was like, no, we don't want to give you exactly the highest money, because he's like, look, while we have cap space, we still have a ton of other needs, and we're only going to go to a certain limit with you. And the Titans held their ground and they got it done. They brought him in. Only the eighth highest paid corner in the league, under $20 million a year, and only $50 million, I believe, guaranteed. Really,
this guy's legit. This guy's legit. This guy's good.
He's going to be the top free agent corner available if he hit free agency.
So how much does this guy move the needle in terms of the Titans? I know they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender, but right. Are they going to be? Does this guy at least make the Titans much more competitive and better, even though they're still a rebuilding team?
He is one of those players that legit moves the needle. And let me just say, the Titans just overhauled their secondary, replaced both starting corners. When Chidobe Awuzie signed with the Titans, I was operating under the assumption, okay, he's going to be our corner one, and that's going to be okay. But not even anymore. Chido Awuzie would probably be, and I'm not saying he's like the stud corner, but he would be a corner one probably on most NFL teams.
So we got some good cornerbacks. We got some good cornerbacks.
Right now, at least on paper, we got some good corners.
On paper. Yeah, and I mean,
and Roger McCreary, another year, he's going to be. Now, Roger McCreary will fully be in the slot this time, which is where he needs to be.
Here's my player that I'm like, can this guy finally figure it out? And it's Treylon Burks. I mean, come on.
I will say I kind of did a pretty quick 180 on my opinion of him. I am not expecting.
I mean, he was drafted right after the AJ Brown thing, and everyone was thinking, oh, can he replace AJ Brown? Right. He plays similar to AJ Brown.
I hope for a while, but I'm not expecting.
It's still good. It's still really good news. I love the update. We got some good players. The way I look at the Titans right now is it's a work in progress. It's going to take some time. It's a hard crash down, a hard crash landing, considering that they had the Patrick Mahomes Kansas City Chiefs down 10-0 in the AFC Championship game not all that long ago. So I still remember where I was. That was right before the COVID shutdowns happened and all that stuff. And we were downtown in East Nashville. And now I can't even remember the name of the freaking bar we were at, but it was leveled by the tornadoes that hit East right Nashville that year.
Oh yeah.
And God, why can I not remember the name of that place we were at? But anyway, the point is I remember being up 10-0 and Patrick Mahomes scrambling to get that first down. right before halftime. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. It was a touchdown. Yeah, that was brutal.
Dagger in my heart. But I really appreciate and I'm optimistic about what the Titans are doing.
Yeah.
I like Grant Carthon. I do.
Yeah. Oh, I really do too. I'm a big fan of what he's done so far.
So I wasn't crazy about the Mike Vrabel firing, but more news came out, more stories came out on that about he's not an easy coach to deal with. And
yeah,
I like the Callahan guy. I liked his press conference. So good stuff. All right. That was Titans time with Max Greenberg. That's going to wrap up episode 226 of Catfish on Ice. A lot of good things happening in Smashville right now. We're buzzing. We're happy. We're excited. But also afraid to get our hearts broken. But we're here for you. Thank you for listening and watching. If you watched on YouTube, we appreciate it so much. Hit subscribe. It helps us out a ton. And also hit the like button if you watched on Facebook or X. Until then, we will see you soon. Preds take on the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday. Vegas is going to be on the back end of the back-to-back. And they're going to overtime, apparently.
No.
Against the Blues. Yeah, not what we wanted, because now both teams get at least a point, but it is what it is. Preds just got to keep doing what they're doing. But until then, we will see you soon. Take care, everybody.
See you later.